Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis Show, aired every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Kat Cannabis is the international best-selling author of Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, and the host of Wicked Housewives on Cape Cod TV show. Together, we will explore cutting-edge insights and philosophies in health, wealth, and relationships. Kat's guests will be ordinary people with extraordinary stories. Now, here is your host, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis.
Welcome to the show, everyone. We have a great guest for you tonight. We have renowned White House chef John Mueller, who served three First Families. And tonight he's going to share with you the trials and joys of dining at the White House, from the president's table to yours. He recently published a book that chronicles his journey from a small town in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, to his remarkable 13 years working as a White House chef to three presidents, which is President George H.W. Bush, President William Jefferson Clinton, and President George W. Bush and their families. Chef John is going to talk about the challenges of preparing delectable dishes in America's most famous home. So welcome to the show, Chef Mueller.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
So I want to ask you, what was it like going from the heart of Amish country in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, into the White House? That's quite a jump. Can you kind of take us on that journey?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I started in high school just cooking at local hotels and went to a VOTEC program in high school for cooking. Then after graduating in 1979, I went up to Johnson & Wales up in Providence, Rhode Island, and took culinary up there. And then after a couple of years of being in the New England area in 1984, had an opportunity to go over to France. Had a friend of mine that was working at an Irish restaurant in downtown Paris, of all places, you know. It was called La Ferme Irlandaise, the Irish Farm. And then from that point, I got hooked up down in Dijon, France, and found work there. Started going to school to get my parler français going a little better. And then spent 2.5 years going between Burgundy and Brittany in the west of France, cooking, living, learning everything I could. Upon returning back to the States here, I found work down in the Virgin Islands, spent a year down in St. Croix, and then it was my return back up to the north here after the season was done in June of 1987 that I landed a position down in Washington, D.C., right off DuPont Circle, a very famous restaurant at that point in time, and the chef was French-Belgian, and he recognized some of the places I worked in France and said, I'd love to bring you in and work with me. So I did. And literally 3 weeks after we were working together, on a Friday night after service, he said to me, you know, John, he said, all the French chefs get together once in a while, and tonight's tonight. He says, if you want to, why don't you come with me? He says, your French is good enough. You can hang with us. So we went down to the Mayflower Hotel, and I met all the French chefs in Washington. And one gentleman who I got to know that night, his name was Pierre Chambrin, at another local French restaurant. We became friends over the next 2 years or so, and then I heard that he started working at the White House. I said, wow, that's pretty cool. Pierre's at the White House. And then about a year and a half or so later, I got a faithful phone call from him one day saying that he's up for the chef position and he's looking for someone to replace himself. And actually, when we sat down to talk about the position, he said that there's 5 chefs in the kitchen full-time, 2 in the pastry, 3 in the cooking side. And we take care of all the family meals and the official functions that go on there. And he says, I'm French-born, but yet to be an American citizen and work full-time. The pastry chef is French-born, but he's an American citizen too. He says, I could bring another Frenchman in that's an American citizen, but I think it's too many French people. He says, if I could find an American that knows something about French cooking, that's what I'm looking for. So that little séjour en France is what set me apart from the other candidates at that point in time and got me in the door.
Oh, what a great story. And so for all of our listeners who are up here in New England, because I'm actually in Cape Cod, and Providence, Rhode Island is just a hop, skip, and a jump down the street. When you graduated from Johnson and Wales College in Providence, Rhode Island, you graduated cum laude. So that is just, kudos to you.
Absolutely. And maybe if some of your listeners from the Boston area, I worked in Newton Lower Falls for a little while at a restaurant that I, my understanding is no longer there, but it was a it was an institution for many years. It was called the Pillar House. It was right on 128, right near the Mass Turnpike in Newton Lower Falls. And I'd spent about a year there working, and during the time that I was in the New England area. But I thoroughly enjoyed my time up there and taking a trip out I-95, I think it was, that goes out towards Cape Cod. If it's the Wood Hole, go down to Woods Hole for a day trip over to Martha's Vineyard or something like that. It was always always a fun day.
Well, my husband's from Newton, so I know that I've heard him speak at the Pillar House. And so, my goodness, it's like when you're on this radio show today, you've come home a little bit, and we're so excited to have you back. So, Chef Muller, tell us a little bit about what some of the favorite meals of some of the families of the presidents are. Like Chelsea Clinton, did she have a favorite little meal that you would fix for her?
Well, after she got in there, it was probably about a month or so that President Clinton had been in office, and the President and First Lady, Mrs. Clinton, where they were leaving that night by themselves to go out to a dinner locally. So Chelsea was eating by herself. So I get a phone call down from Chelsea, and she said, John, I'd really like to have some macaroni and cheese. I said, sure, I can do that. So I I started making up my bechamel and grated up the cheese and boiling the macaroni and made it up fresh. Send it up to her and with a salad and some other goodies. And she called down later and said, you know, that was very good, John, but next time could have the one from the box, you know. So I had she was 13 at the time, you know, so I, my feelings weren't hurt that bad. But that was kind of the go-to meal the first year or so when she was just that young. When Mom and Dad was out, she liked that mac and cheese, piece of grilled chicken, and Mom said, as long as she's having a green vegetable with that, make sure she's getting her vegetables, that'll be fine. You know, so that lasted for a year or so, and then she started getting into the vegetarian style of eating, a little pescatarian. She'd go back and forth to that from time to time. She'd very rarely eat any red meat. She enjoyed chicken and fish for the proteins there, and it was just fun to kind of watch her grow up, because she was 12 years old when she got there, and I watched her grow up, go to college, and it was something. You know, she was the closest one I was to of all the children that were at the White House, because the Bush twins, I got to know them, but they were already in college by the time that President George W. Bush George came in. And, of course, George H.W. Bush, his children had already been grown, so we got to see them from time to time, but not on a living, everyday type situation like it did with Chelsea.
So,
and then for the families.
I'm sorry? Go ahead.
I was saying for food for the families there. I mean, George H.W. Bush had about the most expansive palate. I mean, yes, of course, we know that he didn't like the broccoli, but if you saw everything else that he did like, he really outweighed everyone else. He did a very good job of trying lots of different foods there. So he was the most challenging one to cook for on a regular basis there, you know. You're having a good plate of oysters from up in New England. Of course, he's a Maine guy at heart, and lobster and rockfish and all those goodies. He enjoyed them thoroughly there, you know. The only thing he didn't like is what he referred to as wet fish. Wet fish was, he didn't like it when it was poached or anything. He wanted it grilled or sautéed. He wanted like a little bit of Christmas on it, you know. But other than that, he enjoyed a lot of different things. Of course, when I cooked there, it was two aspects to my cooking. I mean, we were private chefs there. We took care of the family and their guests, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then, of course, on the other side of it, we were like a banquet house. We took care of all the official functions that happened there. And it could be a breakfast, a lunch, a dinner, a cocktail reception, or a picnic on the South Grounds. And so when we were cooking for them personally, they were all very health conscious, every single one of them, about what they were consuming. Because when they go out on the road, they're exposed to a lot of high caloric foods. So when they get back to the White House, they want to kind of back off a little bit. So it was our job to kind of, you know, not have sauces laden with creams, and sauces and soups were not cream soups. Always made broth soups is what they really enjoyed. You know, your vegetables weren't glistening with butter, mostly steamed. Maybe squeeze a little lemon juice on and salt, pepper, and that's about it. You know, but they were all very, very health conscious when it came to eating by themselves. And then, of course, when we did the official functions, then we were able to turn it up a little bit and get a little bit more fancy and more extravagant with the meals that way, you know. But I developed a dish for my chicken enchilada that was liked by all of them, you know. And it got better and better as the years went by. It's still a favorite of mine. I make it for myself from time to time. But they all enjoyed a good chicken enchilada with some pinto beans and rice and maybe an avocado salad. Was definitely a big hit there, you know. One time when President Clinton was in office, it was probably in the second term, it was a cold winter's night, and I was thinking about, what am I going to do with this piece of chicken? I mean, think about this. I mean, a restaurant, you have the same menu pretty much, but different customers come in every day. Here, you have the same customer every day. You have to come up with some different menus. So you're constantly working the edge of, you know, is there 1,001 ways to cook a piece of chicken? Yes, there is, and I found them all, you know. But I thought about this chicken pot pie recipe from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where you cook it up, and you make like a stew out of it, and then a dumpling dough, and then you cook that into the stew part of it, but you do not put it into a shell. The dumpling dough is inside of it. It's chicken pot pie Dutch style. So I thought I'd make that up one evening, and as I in the kitchen, there's two kitchens at the White House. The ground floor kitchen is where we do the main cooking. And then when we're ready to go, half an hour, 45 minutes before service, we would take it up to the second floor kitchen. The second floor is their residence. That's where they live. And to be able to be on that second floor is extraordinary. By yourself, a lot of times you're just with a butler or yourself and maybe a maid. The Secret Service doesn't come wandering around back in there. We are inside the ring of the Secret Service. They do not come into their apartment area where they live. And so you have a one-on-one relationship with them while you're up there serving them. So I was up to that that evening. I gave the food in a nice big rim bowl to the butler. He went to the swinging doors, dropped it to the president. And as he was coming back in, the door swung open. I could see the president straight ahead. And he looked up to me, and he's leaning over the bowl. And he looked up to me and gave me a thumbs up and said, John, this is the kind of food I like, you know, just nice, hearty comfort food, you know. And so I said, well, that was a winner. And Mrs. Clinton was standing next to him at that point in time. I said, you know, let's make a few biscuits of that next time, you know. So that became a every couple of weeks or a month or so, I would put that chicken pot pie on the menu there, you know. And, of course, he left, and George W. Bush came into office. Mm-hmm. And it was a cold winter's night, and he was eating by himself this night. And I said, let me try that chicken pot pie recipe again. Would you know, the butler is doing the same thing, giving it to the president at the same seat on that second floor dining room. And as the butler was coming back in to the kitchen, the door swung open. I saw the president sitting in the same spot. He looks up to me and says, gives me a thumbs up and says, John, this is the kind of food I like, you know. And I said, yes, sir. So it became a regular with him, too, you know. So good comfort food is good comfort food, you know.
It is, and I know exactly what you're talking about with that chicken with that chicken dumpling. My mom used to make that because my dad was from Pennsylvania. He was from the same area you were in, and that's a staple up there, and it is comfort food, and it is delicious. So, you know, we're getting ready to go for a quick break, but before we do, I would like for you to share with our audience how they can find your book and order your book and how they can find out more about you. And would you repeat the title of your book for us also? I'd like to hear it from you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We titled it Dining at the White House, From the President's Table to Yours. And it came out in September of 2013. Obviously, if you search it online, you could find things on Amazon, or if you go to your local bookstore, you can request it at the information desk. Our distributors should be able to get it to them in a couple of days if it's not already on the shelves. This day and age with Amazon and stuff, they don't stock as many books as they used to. But you can order and get it to you. Or if you search me on the web or go to my business, which is State of Affairs Catering, I can sign it and send it off to you too. And that's not a problem also. Through State of Affairs Catering, you can go through my website and make a request. I'd be more than happy to sign it and ship it off to you. That's not a problem.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. So all of you listening right now, don't go away, because when we come back from this commercial, Chef Muller is going to share with us a holiday story from Camp David. So whatever you do, don't leave.
Hey, Jenna, have you seen the TV show Wicked Housewives on Cape Cod on Channel 99?
OMG, I love that show. It's with Kathleen O'Keefe Canavan. She's an international best-selling author, and Lori Boyle, the CEO of Lori Boyle Media.
Right. They're hosting a personal development seminar, Retreat for the Soul. It's about your dreams, meditation, healing, and the subconscious mind.
Ooh.
It sounds fun.
And rejuvenating. Let's go. Where do we sign up?
Their website, wickedhousewivesoncapecod.com.
Did you know that you can use your own radio show to promote your business and become a celebrity in your area or industry? Do you have a great idea for a radio show or a passion that you would like to share with other like-minded people? The Wicked Housewives on Cape Cod radio and TV hosts Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas and Lori Boyle will show you how. Go to wickedhousewivesoncapecod.com. Do you have a great story to tell, or do you want to write your memoir? Best-selling author Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas and Lori Boyle, CEO of Lori Boyle Media, are the hosts of the Wicked Housewives on Cape Cod TV and radio shows. Join their Writers Workshop Intensive to get writing and get published. Go to wickedhousewivesoncapecod.com.
Just a couple minutes. We're basically there.
2 minutes. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight. This is Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas on the Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas Show, and tonight I'm speaking with renowned White House chef John Muller, and he served three First Families, and today he's sharing with you some of the joys and some of the challenges that he had as a chef in the White House. In the earlier part of the show, he was talking about favorite foods for Chelsea Clinton, Bill, George H.W., and now we're going to ask him to share a story with us about when he went to Camp David, because he was also required to be a chef there. So welcome back to the show, everyone, and welcome back, Chef John Muller.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
So you were talking when we were in the green room, you mm-hmm. were sharing some of the holiday stories that you had from your time at Camp David, and you were talking about how the Clintons always spent Christmas in the White House, but mm-hmm. that's not where you always ended up making Christmas dinner. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. We had, with the President First Lady, of course, they would like to use Camp David at Thanksgiving. Just about all of them use Camp David for Thanksgiving, and we really didn't get involved with that. Actually, what happens at Camp David is the Navy takes care of the food service at Camp David and also maintains all the cabins, and the Marines protect it. They're like the two main entities up at Camp David there. And also under the Oval Office is the Navy Mess, and they take care of the President when he's in the Oval Office, and they also go on the road with him when he travels anywhere domestically or abroad. They will be with him as a personal valet and making sure his favorite beverages are there for him and checking out the food sources and what's going on. They wouldn't take us out on the road on those type of trips there. So Camp David, if they're just going up there by themselves on just a regular weekend, the Navy takes care of it. But if there's a head of state in town and there's like a big powwow going up there, or if there's a big family gathering, they'd like us to cater the event, then we would. We would make up the menus, start the preparation out at the White House and source all the food there, then just take it up to Camp David and just cater it out there, you know. So when the Clintons were in there, they would stay Thanksgiving at Camp David, but Christmas they like being at the White House. And so we'd have a big buffet set up with some of their favorites they liked from different salads, and they always liked a baked ham and a baked turkey. So it was kind of neat. On just about every one of those Christmases, I ended up being there on the late shift, and I would come in. I'd just be working by myself for the most part, and I'd just go out to the dining room, and I'd be there carving both the ham and the turkey for the President and his family to take care of them that day. So it was kind of special to be part of their day with them. And I didn't mind spending half of my day there at the White House if you're going to be spending it with the President and First Lady. You know, it's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm. So, did any of the presidents or their family members wander down into the kitchen for something like, I don't know, orange juice or a grilled cheese sandwich, or was that area pretty much an area that they didn't venture into?
Well, I mentioned earlier those two kitchens. The downstairs kitchen, they rarely ever go into there. But on the second floor kitchen, which is right across the west sitting hall and their bedroom, and right next to the dining room, is an area that's inside their apartment area. So they would go into there quite often and either get a bottle of water or something to drink or maybe make a cup of tea if nobody's around. And we would keep some leftovers inside there in the refrigerator. So they say, hey, that soup is pretty good. Why don't you put in little cups there? And if I get a little hungry, we could always just put it in the microwave. So things like that would happen from time to time, you know. And other snack foods that we used to keep up there I used to bring these pretzels from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which there's this little mom-and-pop place that's been making them since the 30s, and they're absolutely delicious. And the Clintons really enjoyed it, and Chelsea liked them a lot. And so after they left, I thought I'd keep them up on that second floor in this little container, and the Bushes liked it too, so I just kept it up there. And about a year or so into George W. Bush's administration, remember hearing that story about him choking on a pretzel?
Was that one of your pretzels?
Yeah, I was behind that one. That was me. That was my pretzel. I felt horrible about it, you know, but he didn't kick him off the second floor. I didn't get in trouble or anything like that, but it was serious, though. It blocked his airway, and he was going down, actually, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Taken down by a pretzel. Oh, my gosh. That's
little old Pennsylvania. Lancaster, Pennsylvania here, you know. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm glad it all turned out well. So I know that you've actually taken time out from one of the events that you're at right now to do this radio show with us tonight, and I wanted to let you know how much we really, really appreciate that. And I know that some of the people where you are right now took you down into the basement with the phone so that you could have a nice, quiet area to talk
to us. That's no problem, yeah.
Tell us what you're doing right now.
I recreate dinners from the White House and stuff like that, and then afterwards I give them, my story for after the dessert's being served, and people really enjoy it. So that's part of my catering business that I do. And I take the show on the road. I travel around this country between the Buck Tour and You Take Food and stories from the White House. People really enjoy it.
So where are you right now?
I'm in northern Pennsylvania, east of Mansfield, Troy, up in the mountains here.
And what are you
down
doing?
This basement here, I'm looking at a big bear. That's a taxidermy product here.
Oh, okay.
From, the house.
I thought maybe you came in to sample some of your food. And are you at an event down there?
Oh, I'm at somebody's home. A very, very nice home here up in the mountains here. And we're going to just do a recreation of a White House dinner here.
Oh, my goodness. So can you tell us what you're going to do in that recreation? What are you going to serve tonight?
Well, tonight we're going to
And is it in your cookbook?
Let's see. Parts of it you may find, and definitely the dessert is in there. The first course, here again, I look for some seasonal things here. And the tomatoes are fantastic out of Lancaster right now. So I made a fresh diced concassée of tomato, diced tomato, with shallots. So it's sauteed shallots with tomato sauce. And then I'm going to pan sear some jumbo dry-packed sea scallops. And then in the center, my Amish farmer, I got some fresh picked and cultivated garlic. So I made a garlic cream out of the garlic. It's when you boil it six times. You boil it, you dump it, you boil it, you dump it. And after the sixth time, you boil it, you dump it, and then you peel off the skins, and you take the germ out in the center if it's there, and then I puree that. And then I add a little bit of heavy cream, sea salt, and some white pepper. And then I'm going to put a dollop of that in the center of the plate, have the tomato shallot sauce pushed around the edge of the garlic puree, and then have the pan-seared scallops on top of that. And then I have some crispy parsnips to garnish it with some fresh chives.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what my listeners are doing, but I'm, like, drooling all over my keyboard here. That sounds delicious. So how can the listeners find you? You say you're traveling all over the country and you're promoting your book, which sounds absolutely fantastic. How can they find you, and where are you going next?
Well, I was in Atlanta last week. I'm going to be heading over to Ohio in a couple of weeks to do a dinner at the Garfield Museum, for his presidential museum. That's going to be on the 27th, I think it is. That's a Thursday night. I'll be over there, and then I'll be, like I said, I got quite a few things gathered between here, Georgia, Florida, and Texas in the coming months here. But you can always find me at my website. I have a catering business, and it's named State of Affairs. thought that was a nice play on words there. And State of Affairs Catering. And through there, you can do a request towards me, and I can see if I can either get a book to you, or if you're interested in a charity event, or meet a headline or keynote speak for something for you. I can see if I can put you into my schedule.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. So we're down to our last 5 minutes. I mean, this time just flies. Give us the name of your book one more time so that those people listening who have been running around looking for a piece of paper and pencil are finally sitting back down with it. Give us the name of your book again, and how can they find it?
And so the title of the book is Dining at the White House, From the President's Tables to Yours. From Chef John Mueller. It is also a gold medal winner. We won a gold medal last year for Best Cookbook and a gold medal for Best Celebrity Memoir and Best Autobiography. And so it's a gold medal winner. And you could find it, you know, you could maybe go to the local bookstore. The distributors should be able to help you find it and get it to you within a couple of days, because they don't stock books as much as they used to anymore with Amazon out there. Or you can go to Amazon. You can find the book there also. Or you can contact me, like I mentioned, at State of Affairs Catering, and I can personally sign it for you and get it in the mail to you. I have a nice shipping department where I'm at.
Great. So we're down to our last 4 minutes. So what is the one thing that you would love to leave our audience with, Chef John Mueller? What is the one thing that those people out there listening who are aspiring to be a chef, what is the one tip you could give them?
Well, what was really extraordinary and what I did, having the opportunity to work at the White House, was just absolutely extraordinary. I mean, I used to pinch myself every time I walked through those gates, and to be able to be up on that second floor of the White House taking care of them was just extraordinary. And there's no 2 days that were alike. What was even more extraordinary is that we had a chance to get to know these people in a completely different light than everyone else, because politics had nothing to do with what we did. And you would never, ever compromise your position or being up on that second floor and talk about politics. So it was kind of great to get to know these folks in that level, you know. And as they said to me when I got the job there, you serve to the pleasure of the president. A new president could come in and bring in anyone he wants to make himself as happy as possible during the 4 or 8 years while he's there. So we were government employees, but we were not civil servants. We were called RS employees, and like I said, they said you serve to the pleasure of the president. And things don't usually happen, but you have to be prepared in case there is something that may happen. You may be replaced, and maybe nothing to do with what you've done. They just want to bring their own people in.
It just shows how you can be employed in the White House one day and not the next.
Quite frankly, yes. You know, I mean, like I said, usually those things don't happen. But the only thing that's happened in recent time is President Obama, after I left there, he brought a private chef that was working for his family up in Chicago. He brought him to the White House. So somebody had to leave out of the three working in the kitchen. He replaced somebody there. And actually, that gentleman just left a few months ago. So that position just became open again.
You possibly? Is it possible?
You never know. We never know. We'll see what happens down the road here. You know?
If you do, you got to come back on and tell us all about it, because we're rooting for you. I'd love to see you back in there. And I'm sure that whoever's going to be in that White House next would be very, very lucky to have you cooking for them. Well, we're down to our last minute, so I really, really want to thank you so much, Chef John Mueller, for being with us tonight and sharing these fabulous stories and showing just how human the first family is and how important cooking is to the country.
Absolutely. You can't make a good decision on an empty stomach, I'll tell you that.
That's so true. So thank you again for being on the show with us. And I just want to tell everybody that next Wednesday we are going to have John Robinson on, and he's going to be talking about earning profits from your passion. And as Chef Mueller's passion was cooking tonight, our next guest is going to have a different passion. But the bottom line is, make sure that you do what you love. And that way, whatever you do will make you happy. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, tonight. And thank you again, Chef John Mueller, for being with us.
Well, thank you. It was great.
Thank you for tuning in to the Kathleen O'Keefe Canada Show. If you would like to comment or have an idea for the show or have a question for Kat or one of her guests, please visit her on Facebook at Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. This show and previous shows are archived on Blog Talk Radio, accessible from survivingcancerland.com and accessyourinnerguide.com. Join us again next Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Until then, have a great week.